You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Let him turn and flee. Oh, for Scotland's king and lord.
What beautiful music. My goodness. So what an honor it is to play music like that on a talk radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast. It is March the 20th, and we are continuing our march around the world. From Croatia to Scotland we go. Tom Sunic has been such a longtime friend of mine. I have known Tom for nearly as long as I've been on the air, so that's going on now a decade and a half or more, 15 years, 16 years. Tom has been a good friend. I love being able to talk to Tom about what's going on in Central Europe and in Eastern Europe, and how they may be the key to white survival and how they are in some ways stronger than what the men of the West have become. But I'd be lying to you, ladies and gentlemen, if it doesn't tug on the heartstrings to hear a song like that from our true native land here as Americans. Scotland, Wales, England, Ireland, that's where we came from. And so when we have a guest like the Reverend Jim Dawson on the program, it is very special. He is an ordained minister, the father of nine children, served as a leader in numerous patriotic organizations and movements throughout Europe, the BNP, Britain First, the Knights Templar International. You know him perhaps as having appeared on our show late last year, late November, early December. We were talking about the book Deus Vult, which was the most popular incentive we've ever offered. That book, folks, you still can't get enough of it. He contributed to that book. His activism and leadership is widespread, and I've really enjoyed working with him more closely these past few months and getting to know him better. He's back with us now from his native Scotland. Jim, how are you?
God bless you, brother. It's nice to speak to you and your people. Now, I'm actually speaking to you from Ulster, which is part of the old Kingdom of Scotland and Northern Ireland called Dalriada. So I'm still in my native land, the land of the Scots.
And what a fantastic accent. You know, one of the things I've loved so much, Jim, featuring the different music, the different accents, you know, but the fact that everyone we're featuring this month in this very special series is calling from their native soil. And so you're not just dialing it in from across the street, even though you were born there. You're actually staying up late to be with us, and I mentioned that in the first hour. It's really a privilege and a pleasure and an honor. And I don't know even
by the way,
to begin.
I know Tom Sunic very well as well. I've met Tom quite a few times, and I've got many, many friends in Croatia, many friends in Serbia, and those two hate each other, but I've got friends in Croatia and friends in Serbia and friends in Hungary. And I work with all the patriotic groups. I work with all of the right-wing groups in all of those countries. It's very difficult sometimes.
Well, you know, maybe that's why I liked you so much, even upon first acquaintance, is because, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center has long said this radio program serves as the nexus of hate. And so if we're the nexus of what they call hate, we must be the nexus of something very good, because we know, of course, Orwellian speak, what they call evil is in fact good, and what we and so we know that. But yes, so this is what we do. We bring the different people on, the different factions, even it's for a greater cause, a cause much greater than ourselves. But I would like to mention very quickly, because I saw this on the KTI website. This week, of course, we celebrated St. Patrick's Day. And as it was put on the website, we remember and celebrate the British-born saint who led the conversion of the Irish to Christianity. We enjoy the day, but we spare a thought and a prayer for Ireland and the Irish at a time when the island, like the whole of the West, is less Christian and more in need of the gospel than at any time since the coming of St. Patrick. Jim, would you like to begin there? I have a lot to talk to you about. We have a full hour with you. There won't be enough time.
Yeah, well, Ireland's probably now more liberal than Holland or Sweden. Ireland, Southern Ireland, not Northern Ireland, not Ulster, although it's going the same way. But the Republic of Ireland, the old Catholic heartland, is now the single most degenerate, filth-ridden, homosexual-ridden, gender-fluid-ridden, green-haired, Marxist, lefty, scum-of-the-earth-ridden country in all of Christendom. And it's horrific. It truly is. We help Irish Catholic groups in the south, but they really are up against it. The EU has the European Union has picked them out for their special project, and I have never seen a country degenerate so fast. And you know, Poland and Hungary and Croatia should be very wary, because at one moment they're sucking up to the European Union. Well, if you do, and they get their claws in you, you will end up like Ireland. It will completely dilute your culture, your religion, your sexuality, and your race in 20 years. That's how long it took them to do it. To Ireland. Ireland, the most Catholic country in God's whole planet Earth. 20 years, they've got them now. We're dancing on the street when they brought abortion in last year. Dancing on the street. 20, 30, 50,000 maybe. Dancing in the streets because they could kill Irish babies. Terrible.
Well, so, listen, we look at the saints of the past, the sacrifices of our heroes, and we look at where we've come today, where we have degenerated to today, and it's again, Jim, the compare and contrast. Eastern Europe, Central Europe, Eastern Europe, which suffered so much under communism, have now reemerged. That suffering bonded them together as a people. It did something for them that we cannot know now in our current standing as not me or you, but as degenerates here in the West who have suffered in a different way from too much freedom and too much decadence and too much liberalism. It's interesting
too much democracy.
To these things. Well, that's right. Well, listen, that's a whole other topic, but yes, that has been a scourge.
Yeah.
I mean, we need autocracy. We need a strong man. We need leadership, and what we have now is not it. And we have fallen far from the standard, and we'd like to get it back. Well, listen, folks, we're coming up on our first break. He's live with us tonight from his native land, which we just mentioned. We're thankful for it, and we've got a full hour. We're going to continue to probe these points and find out the standing of our people from those windswept isles of Northern Europe. Oh, man, the founding settler stock of this nation. That's where we came from. We'll be back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
By oppressions, woes, and pains, by your sons and servile chains, we will drain your dearest veins, but they shall be free. Lay the produce of us low, tyrants fall in every foe, liberties in every blow, let us do our deed.
You know, there's something about that Scottish bagpipe music, even a song like that, which was an incredible song, really tugs at it, ladies and gentlemen. It tugs at the very fiber of my being, because that's who we are. You can go back, and as Michael Hill, Dr. Michael Hill of the League of the South, put it so plainly, it stirs your ancestral memory. Well, we're talking now with, if you don't mind me saying, I judge a man by the enemies he has, and knowing Jim, I have read about him. I've read a lot about him, and in fact, this is what his enemies say about him. And this there can be the standard of measurement for this particular guest. Britain's most influential far right activist, so says one of his detractors, Jim Dawson. The evil genius of right-wing politics and the invisible man of Britain's far right, according to the BBC. Who is this mystery man? Well, he's our guest and my friend tonight, and as he describes himself, an ordained minister with the Reformed Congregational Church. Cromwell was one of them. He was ordained 20 years ago, but only ran a church for 7, as he was assigned as activist status to organize, support, and direct groups, organizations, and individuals who understood the gravity of what was coming. 20 years later, nobody doubts the message, but it has been a great struggle to alert people. Much, much easier these days, so our work was not in vain. Well, Jim, I say again, my friend, it is great to have you on this program tonight, and if you could, talk about the kinship that those of us here in the American South feel with those of you in Ulster.
Well, I think I sent you over some pictures. I mean, we have the ends of houses in the working-class ghettos all over Belfast and all over the north of Ireland. with huge paintings from the floor to the chimney, with our frontiersmen with their buckskins on, the Kentucky men, the Alamo. Yeah, we have all of that, because it's not... I mean, we're taught in our mother's knee. One of the songs I learned on my mother's knee was Three Wheels on My Wagon and the Cherokees Are After Me. You know, we learned about that. We learned about the Alamo, because the Alamo, the men who died at the Alamo were reenacting what their great-grandpappies did at the Battle of Londonderry when there was a siege on Londonderry by King James and his forces. And people are on record saying they were reenacting it. They were conscious. They knew. As our forefathers shouted to the king, no surrender, and slammed the door in his face and wouldn't give up, and thousands died of starvation, but we won the day eventually. This is what they were trying to reenact in the Alamo, because most of the men there were Southern men, Kentucky men, and the Appalachian men, and all their great-grandpappies, you know, were Ulster men. So they knew about Londonderry. They knew what their ancestral roots were. So we were taught also that we march every year 50, 60,000 strong to remember our dead, and the cathedral hoists a crimson flag, which was the original one dipped in the martyr's blood. And we talk about the Alamo that day as well. And we have banners, we remember the Alamo. we march with the Dixie flag, one's flying from my house right now. We have them, the bands, their marching
Amen.
Bands, their militia
Amen,
men
brother.
Marching them. Yeah. Amen.
Well, listen, it is the St. Andrew's Cross. It's the St. Andrew's Cross with a different color scheme. That's all it is. And a few stars.
We love that flag. We love that flag. And we're called racist. We get the same treatment you guys got in the 60s. We couldn't give a rat's behind. We don't care. And history has proved us right. People said, you guys need to become more media savvy. You guys need to be able to play the game like the Sinn Féin IRA, who are all political and left-wing. We said, we don't need to play any game. All we need to learn is the Holy Scriptures of Jesus Christ our Lord, and all we have to do is march behind his blood-red banner, holy banner of the martyrs, and eventually we will win. You keep all this sneaky stuff. You keep all this sneaky-beaky PR stuff. You keep it to yourself. We will follow Jesus, and we'll get into battle with his banner in front of us, and we will always be victorious. And nobody's beat us so far. Amen.
Amen, brother. Oh, listen, this is why this is why we became such fast friends, and why your initial appearance on this program begged another and another after that. And Deus Vult, we will talk about that book. We've sent more copies of that book out than any other incentive gift we've ever offered in 16 and a half years on the radio.
Wow.
Jim, I got to tell you, though, we don't have enough time to talk about everything I want to talk about, but we have questions from the audience that have come for you, and we'll put those to the head of the line. Let me ask you this very quickly, a quick departure. England and Wales, so says a resident of London, England and Wales voted to leave the EU, while Scotland and Northern Ireland voted to remain. Is this a serious fissure? The sign of a breakup of the UK, and what would be best for our people?
Well, the Protestants voted 70% to leave the EU. The Catholics voted en masse to stay in the EU. So that's one thing. Same pattern in Scotland. Same pattern in Scotland, because there's a million Irish Catholics living in Scotland. They did the same. They're left-wing. But no, the union will break up. There is absolutely no doubt about it. But Wales isn't a real... I don't want to be disrespectful, but Wales is a province around the country, and so is Northern Ireland. But about 40% of Wales now is English. They've fled the ghettos. They've fled the enriched areas, if you know what I mean, and they've all went to Wales. But Wales won't leave immediately, but Scotland will definitely break away. There's absolutely no doubt about it, and it'll become a socialist Soviet gay republic in the next 5 to 10 years, and there's nothing any of us can do to stop that. I think it's a good thing, because it'll give the Scottish people a taste of what... What living under them people means.
I apologize for the interruption, but I have to ask this because I have seen this about you in my looking into your positions on these issues. You are in favor of Scottish nationalism, even though it's leftist. It's a leftist movement, as you just mentioned on this.
I'm a proud Scot. I'm a proud Scot, so I'm very Scottish, and I'm Scottish first. Being British is a political arrangement, but I am Scottish. Now, I don't think Scotland would do itself any favours being tied to England when it's a caliph of Islamic domination. But I am a unionist. I am a staunch unionist. But I don't fight battles that cannot be won. That's stupid.
All right. Well, that's an interesting thing, because you are a nationalist. You are obviously pro-white, you're pro-Christian. The Scottish nationalist movement, you would think of nationalism as a default as being a, for lack of a better term, I know my friend Sam Dixon always cringes at the left-right divide, but you would think of it as a, perhaps a rightist movement. But in Scotland, though, it's a leftist movement. But you're still for
Even
it.
Ireland, for the in Ireland, it's mentioned. Completely Marxist. In Wales, it's completely Marxist. And in Scotland, it's completely Marxist. So I'm not one of those people. No. You know, Scotland was a sovereign nation with its own crown jewels, its own kings. For 1,000 years, we are a sovereign people. But this form of nationalism is not. And the person who runs the Scottish National Party said she's deeply embarrassed by the name of a party because she is not a nationalist. She is an internationalist. So this is how crazy these left-wing people are. Crazy people. And she's a woman, so she's halfway crazy already anyway. But being a left-wing woman, she's off the scale.
I got to tell you, sorry, you're not wrong.
Sorry, any ladies who are listening. I'm only joking.
Well, half joking anyway, or at least I am. But no, you listen. Well, I brought that up before. I mean, we caught hell for that in the 2016 elections. I said, listen, I abide by God's law. If a woman cannot be the head of her household, according to God's law, how can she be the head of your national household? So therefore, for many other reasons, I'm against Hillary Clinton. And the press picked up on that, and there was a lot of articles written about that at the time, yeah. but it still stands true, and I certainly don't back down from any of it. But that then is the state of affairs with regards to nationalism in Scotland. Well, we're in Ulster. Wow, what the connection we have here in the American South with people like our guest right now, Reverend Jim Dawson, up there in Ulster right now, Northern Ireland, Scotland. That's our people, ladies and gentlemen, the windswept isles of Great Britain. We'll be right back. We're going there. We're still there. When we come back, another half hour remaining in Scotland.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Florida became the third state to reach 2 million coronavirus infections, joining Florida and Texas. The latest number of total infections in the state reached about 2,005,000 on Saturday, with about 33,000 deaths recorded from the virus. Nearly 5 million Floridians have received at least one dose of the vaccine so far. The CDC says nearly 1 in 6 adults in the U.S. have now been fully vaccinated for COVID-19. Meanwhile, the Brazilian variant of the coronavirus has been detected for the first time in New York. A Brooklyn woman in her 90s has been diagnosed with the strain that's been called a variant of concern by the CDC. That variant is one of several strains that have been singled out by the CDC because of their increased transmissibility and harsher symptoms. They're also tracking variants first identified in the UK, South Africa, and two from California. Dr. Anthony Fauci said Friday that variants of the virus could soon account for up to 30% of infections in the U.S. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
A rally was held in Manhattan Saturday calling for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to be impeached, a day after a current member of the governor's staff accused him of harassment. The aide, Alyssa McGrath, becomes the eighth woman to accuse the governor of inappropriate behavior. Democratic New York State Senator John Liu says that the number of accusers is telling of a pattern of inappropriate behavior. He tells Fox News that Cuomo is no longer capable of governing amid misconduct allegations and the pandemic.
This is a clear pattern with eight women coming forth. One was enough, but eight is clearly enough. And at this rate, who knows how many more will come. The point here is that this person is no longer in a capacity to lead. lead and to govern the state of New York, where we still have an ongoing pandemic. There's a crisis going on. We're trying to roll out vaccines. And there are so many other issues, including not the least of which, a state budget for the fiscal year beginning in less than 2 weeks.
This is USA Radio News.
Gentlemen, one of the things, and I mentioned this before even tonight, that I have enjoyed most about this particular series, this March Around the World, is not only being able to present to you the champions of each of our respective nations, but the music that animates our people from these respective nations. And so what I have done is I've emailed each of our guests and I've said, listen, we don't want to just feature the takes and the perspectives that you have, but also the music of our people. And I've asked each of our guests to send us the patriotic, the traditionalist songs of these featured nations. And this was one that Jim sent to us tonight. Jim, describe to us that song and its message and why it was so meaningful to you.
This song, you know, the guy singing there, just those verses you heard. When they come, I'll stand my ground, he says, grunt. I'll stand my ground and I will not be afraid. And I think that's the measure of all men. And it's a soldier's song, a man who's been to war, who's faced battle. Anybody who's been in a battle and tells you they weren't afraid is lying or insane, one of the two. And I think everybody needs to remember, especially the Celtic nations. I know the other nations are very capable people as well, but I'm a Celt, so I can only speak for Celts, and especially Ulster Scots, because we're mainly Celtic, but we've got a bit of Germanic in us, a bit of Scando in us, which makes us ever so dangerous because we've got the wild nature and the smart brain. It's a great combination. That's what built America. But we should remember. Whether you're
that's
a minister,
right. You're right about that. Account.
Yeah, I know. I see it. But, you know, whether you're a minister, whether you're a painter and decorator or a carpenter, as a man, first and foremost, you are a warrior. You are a fighter between the ages of 16 and 45. You should be fit for duty at all times. We're still warriors until the day we die, but we need to think of ourselves as fighters. Doesn't matter if you're an accountant. You need to think of yourself as you are a fearsome, formidable man of war. And if anybody messes with you, your kin, your people, your sacred holy land, you will act. And that's what's missing in the West today.
Well, it's what's missing in the West, that's for sure. And we're thankful for the opportunity to speak with men of the Central European nations and Eastern European nations like Tom Sunik, who, you know, they're better off than we are, not necessarily you and I as individuals, but of our people and of our kinsmen at large, that's for sure. But certainly not of you, Jim, who I am reading now from an email you sent me in advance of your first appearance on this show, which occurred in the latter months of last year. At last, this long death of cultural Marxism, race dilution, and feminization we have endured shall be swept away in an instant. Our generation should feel honored and blessed to have been chosen by God to see the start of this, but sadly, perhaps even we, not even our grandchildren, will see the end of it. Spain took 700 years to free herself from the Mohammedans, and Serbia took 600. In Europe, we are used to long wars. Here in Ireland, we have never had peace in 1,000 years. We've had sabbaticals now, and the old division of Catholic and Protestant has turned into red communists against all Christians. So many Catholics are now standing with us Protestants. Do you see a day coming, Jim, where our people, the men of the West, the men of the faith, will unite as one, as pan-Europeans, as pan-Christians, and rise against a common foe?
No, I don't. Because there's far too many deep differences. You've got to remember, the Croats For example, the Croats, the priest, the Catholic priest for the Croats, cut the throats of 800,000 Serbs. The Serbs loaded tens of thousands of Hungarian children into brick ovens and burnt them in 1945. The horrors that we've inflicted upon ourselves, the Catholics killed half of our population in the north here in 1645. They tried it again in 1798. They've been at it the last 40 years. Cromwell killed a third of the country. The wounds run way too deep. And I think that's why I disagreed with the alt-right movement. They were saying we have to have a white movement. You can't have a white movement. It's not possible. Celtic people, even right now in Ulster, Protestants are killing each other because there's nobody else to fight with. So one Protestant faction will fight with another militia. And that's the way we are. And we have to accept.
Well, let me ask
nature.
You this then.
If you... nature. Yep.
Well, pardon the interruption, but if you believe that, and it may well be true, are we going to be like the Plains Indians? Are we going to be like the so-called Native Americans, the American Indians, who had no sense of Indianness? It was just one tribe against the other until they were completely vanquished?
No, because there is one thing and one thing only, and it's not ethnicity that will join us, although that needs to be a huge part of it. The true faith in Christ Jesus. That's it. That's all that unified
Amen.
Europe in the Crusades and against the Mohammedans when they invaded France. Remember, they got to within 100 miles of Paris. The only thing that united us and stopped us killing each other was the faith, the one true faith in Christ Jesus. If you try National Socialism or you just try ethno-culture, it's doomed to abject failure. So we have to unite under the red banners of Christ's holy martyrs, as we've done. And that's the only time in history our people have ever united is in a religious war, not in an ethno war. Now, that might be obviously, we're fighting an ethno war. But if we fight it on an ethno strategy, we're finished. If we fight it on a Christian strategy, we're going to win. 100% guaranteed.
Jim, my goodness, you are so right. I'm pounding the table here at the studio. Yes, this is the message we need. This is why Jim Dowson is our guest tonight. And, well, he has earned all of the vitriol of our enemies, as he's not. This is the man we need to hear from. This is why he was chosen for our part, gave us the honor of appearing on our series this month, but why we couldn't have done better without him. This is the thing, and this is what we talk about on this program, is that, I'll put it to you this way. Can nationalism, apart from Christianity, be successful? You just touched on it. You already answered the question, but I'd like to repose it to you
no.
in that way. Can
no.
our people be successful apart from Jesus Christ?
No. No. And we never were. We never were. I mean, you know, people, I know a lot of people who are into the kind of National Socialism stuff and they're completely obsessed with it. But, you know, that didn't last long. It was a blip in history. And if you look at our history through the ages, you know, the European people came to fruition through when we discovered religion. Remember, you know, we're building a monastery at the moment here with the Templars headquarters, and we're using stones that St. Patrick laid in the year 430 AD. When Ireland became Christian, they then took the true faith to the whole of Europe. Not Rome. There's nothing to do with Rome. Rome didn't come in here until the 8th, 9th century. And that is when Europe flourished. Europe flourished then. And as Europe and the white people of America and all the rest of it, as we move away from Christianity, we're going back to our old divided political divisions, social divisions, economic divisions. That's our natural habitat. And it's only through that unnatural habitat of Christ's restraining grace that we can be all we can be and be the best we can be. So, you know, I'm not a religious nutcase, but I understand through history and through personal faith that we cannot do this just with the label nationalism. We have to be Christian nationalists, and that's what will unite us. And by the way, many old-fashioned nationalists in Sweden, people I know very well in Sweden, they have now rejected their old paganism, they've rejected their old ways, and they're now turning to a kind of Christian. It's not ideal, but it's nearly there. Christian identity, because they, and they're clever people, the Swedes, they have realized nationalism and their national socialist policies were just not sufficient. It wasn't enough. Because what we're going to need we're going to need a jihad.
No, well, just to accentuate your point, it would have been interesting to find out, well, perhaps not so interesting for us, perhaps catastrophically for us, how well Constantine or Charles Martel would have fared without the banner of the cross. Would you agree with that, Jim?
We wouldn't have won. I mean, because remember, the armies with Charles Martel were drawn from every corner of Europe. People who hated each other. But I don't think you realise the level of hatred between Serbs and Croats and Hungarians and Serbs and Northern Irish and Southern Irish. We utterly despised the very ground each other walks on because of their history. However, when Christendom is threatened, when Christ's honour is threatened, and when the true faith is threatened, we will gladly march shoulder to shoulder and die in a ditch together, choking in each other's own blood, no problem. And we've done that for 1,000 years in Europe. So let's learn from history. Don't learn from Jim Dowson. Let us learn from Martel. Let us listen to, look at the Reconquista of Spain. Let us look at the Crusade. This is the only thing we have managed to unite.
I think that, yes, indeed, my friend. I think that has been, perhaps that is the difference between the tribes of Europe and the tribes of the American Indians. We united together, whereas they fought against each other. We united under a banner of Christ, and it has been our salvation, and it is the only salvation we can have going forward. We have to remember that, and we'll continue in that thread. One more segment.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, little Q. The calm before the storm. By a friend of Medjugorje, the strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, little Q, the calm before the storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Oh, Florida, Scotland. When will we see your like again? That fought and died for your wee bit hill and glen and stood against him. Proud Edward's army. And sent him homeward to think again. again.
What great music. Music the likes of which we perhaps would have never heard had it not been for the recommendation of our guest, Jim Dawson, right here, right now. And that's why we're playing the music tonight as we continue our march around the world. I want to go back now, ladies and gentlemen, to an email that Jim sent me when we first became acquainted. And I want to thank the fact that we were put together to our mutual friend Nick Griffin, a former member of European Parliament. Nick Griffin, you know him from the BNP. Nick, a longtime friend of mine. He put me in touch with Jim, and I'm a better man for it. Jim wrote, "We must not fight for hatred of others, but rather because we love our Lord, our kin, and our land. If we love those who shelter behind us more than we hate the enemy in the front, then our victory is assured." Jim was jailed. If you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, you perhaps do not know the man as well as I do. He was jailed for 10 years, or rather, at 10 years old, he was first jailed. Let me put it that way. That's what it was. He was shot. He was blown up by IRA bombs and even Protestant militia grenades by accident. But he is still here and still fighting for his kinsmen. Yet still, we are men, as he writes, and our duty is to defend what is ours, our loved ones, our tribe, and above all, our faith in the one true God and his church here on earth. And may God help us do so with dignity, decency, compassion, resolve, and a fierceness which would shock Attila himself. Jim, with that, and I could not improve upon it, back to you.
Well, you know, I've been through the mills, and this year the COVID got me. And me and my wife ended up in hospital for five days. But that COVID's a load of nonsense. All I had to do was take penicillin at the beginning of the illness and I wouldn't have been in hospital. But anyway, that's another story. But I like to say what an old preacher man told me, and he was an old fighter. He said, "Don't worry, if God's got work for you, not a bullet from a brat of hell can pierce your carcass until God's finished with his work with you. So don't worry about it. Just get on with things. If you're going to get killed, you're going to get killed. You're going to die anyway. I don't understand what the big fuss is. So get on with God's business and don't be worrying about getting killed." And, you know, they've never managed this. I mean, I'm not saying they won't do it one day, but, you know, I'm 56 now, so they've left it a bit late. But listen, we must, when I talk about Christianity, brother, I talk about, I mean, some of my friends and my best friends are Sede Vacantis, Pope Pius XII. Now, I'm a fierce Protestant, and I don't agree with Catholic doctrine at all. But, look, it's not for me to fight the Reformation over again. We've no time left for that. We've got the Mohammedans, we've got the Africans, we've got the lefties, we've got the liberals, we've got the gays, we've got the transgenders. We've got all of these freaks arraying in a battle formation against us. So I don't really want to debate the real presence of the host while these people are sharpening their knives to cut our heads off. Utter nonsense. And people need to move beyond sectarianism. In the Templars, if you want to be a devout Roman Catholic, you can be that. If you want to be a Southern Baptist, you can be that. If you want to be Orthodox, you can be that. We are joined as brothers, and we don't talk about doctrine, ever. It's forbidden. That's it. And that's the way we've got to look at this, because we need to get our act together and pretty sharp. Because you've now got this madman, Joe Biden. Well, he's not running a country. It's Harris, as you well know. They're going to do things to America that you wouldn't have thought possible 5 years ago. You're going to end up the way Britain is in 4 years. And God help America. I really mean that. Because if you guys go down, what's the rest of you supposed to do? You know, we really are at 5 minutes to midnight.
Well, as you know, Jim, I've been talking with you and Nick behind the scenes for the past couple of months about our censorship with regard to online payment processing, which is, of course, trivial in terms of the real price of blood and bone that our people have paid in the past and perhaps may pay again. But we are all on the front together with regards to these things. And you're right. I think America has not suffered nearly as much as she will, or as much as she should, because it is, in fact, the suffering. Going back to our conversation in the first hour of tonight's program with our mutual friend Tom Sunik that has perhaps led to the salvation of Eastern and Central Europe, at least to comparatively speaking to what we face now here in America and in Scotland. But that's okay. If we have to suffer more, we'll suffer more if it brings us what's the word? If it brings us purity, if it brings us a cleansing, if it brings us back to where we need to be.
Because that's why your ancestors went to America in the first place. That's why America was founded. It was founded by people fleeing death, massive death, pogroms, destruction, massive murder, mayhem, lawlessness. That's what formed America. And my goodness, seriously, I want all Americans not to have their heads down tonight. You guys, not you guys, our kin, built the nearest mankind has ever got to building heaven on earth. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And God bless America. You did that.
You said that. You said that. Elaborate. Even if it has fallen far from the standard, accentuate what you just mentioned, that you believe, even as a Scotsman, the American experiment. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if I get out my door, I could travel 5 miles through farmland. No, nobody owns any more than about 20 acres here. And all you can grow on it very effectively is rocks. So we've got to keep sheep. The land is garbage, and there's small amounts of land. Our ancestors went over there and found they could grow corn anywhere, and they could keep livestock, and they could have lots of land. You had reasonable laws. You weren't ruled by lords who were heretically put there. They weren't put there by votes. They weren't put there by people's opinions. They were just the father's son, so they became our landowners and our landlords. And basically the law was, they were also the magistrates. You went to America and you built your own country. You built laws, you built capitals, you built state capitals, you had representation, you had good farmland, and through the sweat of your brow, you made a country that the whole world looked on in awe, in awe. That's what you built. And you also built the cities and the steelworks. Carnegie, a Scotsman, built U.S. Steel. Yeah, you did all of that. You did all of that. No country on the planet, including Britain, has ever achieved what the American people did, because you didn't have lords, you didn't have kings, you didn't have aristocracy. People who, one generation, I'll give you an example, the Mellons. I was at the Mellons' house a few weeks ago. The Mellons who built Wall Street came from a house which was 20 feet by 11 feet, a stone house in County Tyrone, and within three generations, they built Wall Street and the stock market. Now, whether that's a good thing now or not, the Mellons are a bad family now, we know that. But they did that. So they went from wearing rags in County Tyrone in Northern Ireland to being the most powerful and wealthiest family in America. Where else
Jim,
on the
I
planet
can...
in the history of mankind could you do that? Nowhere.
Well, it's all an expression of our people and of our faith. So the fact that it landed on this geographical plot, that was a matter of circumstance and perhaps a little bit of good luck, but it was our
and
people
genetics.
And our faith.
Remember, the Indians were there for 12,000 years and they built nothing.
That's, well...
And, you know, don't anybody tell you it's the white man's fault. They were left alone for 12,000 years and they built nothing. The Aborigines in Australia for 50,000 years, they didn't even know about wheels. And they're the only people in the world who did not make the connection of sex and procreation. But again, nowadays... That's our fault. That's the Europeans' fault. Fault.
You're right. It had nothing to do with location. It had to do with the people and the faith. But that manifested itself in a very unique way here in America. Jim, I want to thank you again, my brother and my friend. What a fast hour it's been. We only have a minute remaining, and I can't even believe it when I say it. What a fast hour. Deus Vult, the book. It's been so well received by this audience. Give us the contact information of the organizations you're with that you would like to promote tonight, how people can get more information, how they can go to a right place and apply themselves in a constructive manner.
Well, www.knightstemplarorder.com. That's the website. But I do a Sunday church service, GMT, our time in Britain, is 6 p.m. I think it's about midday in America, and it's on a new platform for the disenfranchised called purged.tv, www.purged.tv, and all the Templar stuff is there. Nobody can censor it, nobody can take it down, and I do a live Sunday service every Sunday at about midday, 12 noon, 1 o'clock in America. And you'll get all the stuff there. And anybody who wants a platform there who's of our ilk, organization-wise, they're more than welcome. Purged.tv. And we put it there for people that Facebook and YouTube are purging from their system. So Purged.tv. That's the platform for the deplatformed.
Well, and there we will be. There we will be reacquainted and reassembled. Jim, it's been such an honor. This is your second appearance on this program, and dare I say it exceeded the first, which was fantastic and a standard to be set, to be sure. We look forward to continuing working with you behind the scenes with the Knights Templar Order. Knights Templar Order, that's the website. Check it out. Reverend Jim Dawson, a man of faith, a man of leadership, a man of capability, a man we had to feature here on this, our March Around the World. Jim, we'll talk to you again very soon. We'll be emailing you. Thank you for all the help and for all the books you've sent over here stateside. We'll talk to you again soon, brother. Third hour still to come, everybody.
God bless America.
God bless you.